For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I want to remind you that if you want to make sure that you never miss anything that happens here on the show, make sure you are subscribed to the Columbo and Katie podcast. We put out the show as a podcast shortly after we get off the air every day. And if you are subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, because we're basically on all of them, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, whatever it may be, you know you will never miss any of the great conversations and interviews that we have here on the show, including the one that we are looking for forward to right now with Kellyanne Conway, the former senior counselor for President Donald Trump, former campaign manager to President Donald Trump, and now with the America First Policy Institute. She is their chairwoman for the Center for the American Child. And Kellyanne, we are thrilled to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for your time. How are you?
It is absolutely my pleasure. I've been great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. There's no way that you would ever remember this, but we actually met briefly in 2016 when you guys were here in St. Louis for the debate between President Trump and Hillary Clinton. I was covering that debate, and I was in the spin room after the debate was over with, when all the surrogates were walking around, and you were there, and Ben Carson was there, and Rudy Giuliani was there, and Sarah Huckabee was there before anybody knew how great she was going to become. And you were exceedingly nice that evening, and so it's great to talk to you again.
Well, I do remember it because, let's face it, it was 2 days after the Access Hollywood tape dropped, and
yes,
people thought Donald Trump would drop out of the race. He wouldn't show up at the debate, and he did a great job that night against Hillary. And then 12 days after that, for that final debate in Las Vegas, where he took it right to her, and the rest is literally history. I enjoyed my time in the spin room that night, even though lots of reporters wanted to use the P word and other bad words because it made them feel good. But
yeah.
I remember I had on a white dress and a gold jacket, and you were lovely. I think you were trying to get the story and not get the candidate.
So, well,
good for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And there's lots of things that I want to ask you about as we go through the conversation this afternoon. But I know that school choice is something that is really important to you. It is something that you are working on through your relationship with the America First Policy Institute, now that you have joined that organization, which we have on regularly here on our show with Mark Harder and others. So very familiar with America First Policy Institute and what you guys are all about. And ironically, just yesterday on our show, we were talking to one of our very own state senators here in Missouri, Senator Nick Schroer, about school choice and how we are right in the middle of our legislative session here in the state of Missouri right now, and how that has been a hot button issue and something that a lot of conservatives and Republicans are pushing to expand. The charter school program here in Missouri exists, but it is very, very limited. So school choice is not something that we have a whole lot of here in the state of Missouri. And there's lots of our lawmakers that are working to fix that. So please tell us about the effort that you are working on for school choice across the country.
I think you characterized it very well. Unfortunately, Governor Parson is doing a great job along with the legislature in trying to push forward some more muscular, robust programs that would allow more school children all across Missouri to benefit from more options. And so if you're a parent who has the fundamental right to have a say in where you go to school and what is taught there, believes that you would do better as his or her child, you would thrive and you would succeed in a different environmental educational circumstance. And some of the legislation that is being considered even this week in Missouri could help. So you see the education savings accounts that exist in other places. Right now you have to, if you want to qualify for the current ESA, a child must meet following standards. You have to be from Missouri charter counties or cities with more than 30,000 residents, be enrolled in a public school for at least one semester, household income must be less. You see what Sarah Sanders is doing in Arkansas. You see what Kim Reynolds is doing in Iowa, some of your states close in proximity. And what they're doing is they're basically not means testing it. They're saying universal school choice. They're saying every child deserves at least a chance and an opportunity to thrive in a different learning environment. And some of the statistics in Missouri are shocking. In 2022, African-American fourth grade students have an average reading score 34 points lower than white students. Hispanic fourth grade students score 10 points lower. You know, maybe those parents believe that their children would thrive in a different environment, but that money would have to follow the child. And I would just ask those who are afraid of school choice, charter schools, educational freedom, opportunity scholarships, what exactly are you afraid of? The kids succeeding and finding and reaching their full potential? I can't believe that you have almost an entire Democratic Party now against alternatives to the conventional school system. They want to benefit the system. We want to benefit the student. And what you see being considered, and I think you hinted at this, HB 253 and the companion bill in the Senate is SB 5. Basically, this would require school districts to opt in to accept transfers from other districts. And the bill includes funds to cover transportation for those students who qualify, free and reduced lunches, and special needs students as well. Under current law, there are more draconian requirements, and this would really free those up. Also, look, school choice can benefit families in rural Missouri also. I think that goes against some of the screeds and some of the negative talking points that some people are trying to present, saying that this would gut rural public schools, take away the athletic and extracurricular programs. We found in states that have such programs, say Wisconsin and Indiana, that have large rural populations in some areas, that has not been the case. In fact, those kids have been able to thrive. School choice policies do not defund public schools. Education funding is for educating students, not for throwing more money at the schools. And I think it's very simple. 60 years after bigoted Democratic governors in the South stood in the schoolhouse door, preventing kids of color from coming into the schools, you've got bigots all across this country standing in the schoolhouse door, refusing to let kids of all backgrounds out of the failing schools to go. Look, this was already an issue and a problem and certainly a love and a passion of mine before the pandemic led to all these lockdowns and letdowns of our kids. But we see now the declining test scores, the lost learning, the emotional and mental challenges so many of our students face because our kitchen islands or classrooms, screen time substituted as school time. And my goodness, how are we going to get that learning back? So I'm so happy to see Missouri part of the education renaissance sweeping the country.
Kellyanne, one moment of flattery I must give you is that every single time for 4 years when I saw you on the television screen and you were challenging the media, challenging reporters, challenging anchors who wanted to get the best of you, who wanted to, you know, really break you down, break the administration down, you have been such a shining light for, I think, women, conservative women. I just want to say thank you for that because it was such a refreshing thing to see people being challenged that, and you allowed that to happen. You challenged these reporters every single day and you came with facts, and I thought it was such a wonderful thing to see, especially as a 30-year-old conservative woman. So thank you for that. But I wanted to talk to you about the importance of parents having a say in their kids' education. Now, you brought up that we saw a significant change in our schooling because of COVID, because of the pandemic. We saw kids working from home. Therefore, parents were very involved in what their children were seeing and what they were doing and the activities they were exposed to in school with some of these teachers. My question to you, because you are such a huge advocate for school choice and education reform, what is the most important thing right now, and why is it so important for parents to be involved in their child's education?
First, I would say to parents that you have a fundamental right to have a say in where your children go to school and what is taught there, period, end of story. That is not a soundbite. That is a fact. That is not a privilege. It's a right. And parents don't need to be invited into the education system or waiting to get a seat at the table. They have the biggest, loudest seat at the table already. And you see so many parents now, some most out of frustration, many out of aspiration on behalf of their children, getting more involved, speaking up, showing up, standing up, putting up, running for school board, showing up in the school board meetings. Because I am just confounded that the left, the hard left, went from masking the kids and keeping them locked down to right to the curriculum. They didn't stop. They didn't just go to a resting place for a few months or 2 years and say, how do we hire some literacy coaches or education coaches to try to get these kids back on par where they need to be, try to make up for all that lost learning. They went right to the curriculum. And you see what they're doing to the curriculum. It's craziness. And so that's why parents are more involved. Parents are also involved because they were forced to. I mean, I may be one of the most high-profile examples at the time, but I'm only one of 3 million moms of school-age children, now 14, who were pushed out of her job because the kids were going to start their second year online. Many of those women never went back to work. We were considered to be the teachers, the trainers, the task makers, the tutors when the kids were home. It was presumed, and of course we all stepped up and did that. But that also awakened a sleeping giant in many of these moms and dads. But these moms who said, "My goodness, look at what they're being taught. Look how much they're not being taught. Reading, writing, arithmetic are the three solid basic building blocks of a great education. Where is it?" So I think for these parents, you don't need to always be the loudest. It doesn't always need to be a confrontation. It can be collaboration as well. But if you look the other way, if you say it's not your place, if you say I don't want to cause any trouble, then you are missing an opportunity really to advocate for your own child. And I just wanted to back up and say thank you for everything you said. I appreciate it. I hear that a lot of places I go in this country, people just, they feel like we suffer from information underload. And it was a privilege to walk into a White House every day, daughter of a single mom, raised very modestly, to be able to have those opportunities to give back modestly to the country that's been so good to all of us. But you keep going, because I don't even remember being 30. So God bless you.
I don't either, so it's okay. Kellyanne, to finish the point about parents, and you can include me in this club, did COVID and then sort of the introduction of these more progressive policies like CRT and things like that, was the sleeping giant of parents awakened? Because I know that during when my kids were sitting at home learning, you know, in their bedroom, that I had a much better look at exactly what they were being taught and exactly how it was handled. And it was a very eye-opening experience. So maybe if there's one sort of silver lining to all of the tragedy of the lost time in the classroom, thanks to COVID, and then these progressive issues that are being pushed so heavily by the left, is that maybe it has indeed woken that sleeping giant of the parents across the country who are now making sure to stick their nose in the business of their child's education.
I agree completely. It was the catalyst for many of that. And let's go back in time. Pretty much everybody bought into the, say, March to June 2020. Everybody stay at home 15 days or 45 days to stop the spread. Everybody stay safe, you know, pre-vaccines, pre-real knowledge about this so-called invisible enemy that was killing lots of Americans and folks were landing in the hospital, ventilators, et cetera. What happened, though, is the summer of 2020, as you'll recall, we were all told, go have a nice summer. And there were a record number of car rentals, of Winnebago, what do you call them, RV rentals.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, boom, August hits, and they say, oh, you know what? We're just going to start the school year online. What now? And so that was really the catalyst for many people saying, hold on, that is not what we signed up for, and don't we want the kids back in the classroom? Aren't we hurting them in other ways, since they're at such a low risk to contract COVID, thank God. But also, you know, we at the White House and the Trump administration, we put the teachers and the school administrators and other faculty towards the front of the list in terms of who can get the vaccine first, you know, along with first responders and health professionals, et cetera. There were a lot of accommodations made, and there are billions of dollars still unspent in a COVID-related funds for our places of learning. I mean, I cannot believe when we consult with HHS, Health and Human Services, routinely, how much of the money was still unspent. Ventilating those classrooms, making sure that teachers over the age of 60 had the opportunity to stay home if they wanted to because they were a higher risk pool. So I think everybody bought into it for the first several months. But it was just the sort of the hypocrisy and the confusion and the arbitrariness after that. And look, not every state was equal. Some states never shut down. I think Iowa or maybe South Dakota, there were a few that never shut down completely, never shut the schools down completely. I don't think that they have the same bad test scores. And frankly, I don't think, I think that those are the places that where it's easier to get these school choice charter schools, educational freedom, opportunity scholarship packages passed, because people know what happens if you don't. The other thing that's really sweeping the country, two other things I'd like to mention, these ESA educational savings accounts, they're so brilliant because you can pay for anything. It could be tuition, obviously, but it could also be backpacks or tutors or online supplemental learning or summer programs for those who qualify. It could be anything associated with the child's education. The second thing that's sweeping the nation, we have 17 or 18 states now, are these tax credits. And basically, it doesn't lessen your tax liability as a taxpayer, as an individual or a business taxpayer, but it allows you to divert part of your tax liability to the state approved education fund. And then schools must apply through the fund to get some of that funding, and they need to qualify, et cetera. That's been a game changer in states like Arizona and Florida, where you're just bringing much more money into the coffers that would have gone into the big black hole of state government. But this is being committed to education, and it's allowing so many of these schools to then pass on that money to say a family that wants to send their kid to a Catholic school or a Muslim school or a Jewish school and can't really make the full tuition, or they just want to send them to a better public school that has, you know, better facilities for them or better technology for them. Really cool. I mean, it's really remarkable stuff, frankly, and. Mm-hmm. And we just need to tackle education reform in any way that we can. I'm just amazed after everything we've been through that you have so many people in the teachers unions dug in. We all love teachers. We don't love teachers unions necessarily. Yeah. And I got to tell you, we're here to serve the student, not to serve the system. That's the difference.
Talking to Kellyanne Conway, former senior counselor to President Donald Trump, now with the America First Policy Institute. And we're almost out of time, Kellyanne, but I had to take this opportunity talking with you to kind of touch on something that Katie just mentioned. Your experience with the media and some of the attacks that you have endured over your time, especially when you were working in the White House. So you have an even more unique perspective than others when it comes to what happened with Don Lemon last week on CNN. And today we find out that after just missing three or four shows, he'll be back on the air tomorrow with a slap on the wrist of having to attend formal training after making such disgusting sexist remarks on the air last week. I wanted to get your thoughts on what happened with Don Lemon last week.
My experience with him is he's always been a misogynist, sexist jerk. His treatment of me on his program and then his treatment of me when I wasn't on his program has been abhorrent. And that is not just me, but I'm giving you my firsthand experience. Look, he got demoted. He lost his primetime show and he had to go to the morning show, and they plopped him together with, you know, he's bookended by two women, two very smart women, by the way, capable women. And that wasn't a remark he made. It wasn't I have to correct the record. It's not an offhand remark. It's the way it's what he believes. And so I don't know how you train people away from something that they believe. He clearly believed it wasn't a slip of the tongue. It wasn't alternative facts, where I meant alternative information, additional facts. Everybody knows that. I wrote a whole memoir last year, an entire chapter called Alternative Hacks, about moments like this where reporters are caught expressing what they really believe. And he did that about basically women over the age of 40, it sounds like. Anybody 20s and 30s. My God, I got married at 34. I had my first children at 37. I had two of 41 of 42. They said there are no eggs left in your 40s. I'm like, well, there were two rolling around in there somewhere, Charlotte and Vanessa. So, look, I'm 56. I feel very much in my prime. I've never been happier, lighter, you know, more joyful. And it just also, I thought that the moment that said it all, in addition to his, I think, on-trend sexist and misogynistic comments and beliefs, was when he said, no, I Googled it. Google it. And it just says it all. It's like, this is a fact first.
Yeah, he called them facts. First. He called it facts. Which
he
is just
actually Googling it. He might as well go to Wikipedia and type in prime women in their prime. He half makes me want to put a bikini on for the first time in 20 years and just take an untouched photo to show him what prime looks like before natural birth weight. Anyway, but you know, this is how I handle it. I laugh through Eventually, sometimes it takes longer than we would all want, but eventually everybody is seeing who they really, for whom they really are.
Yeah, amen to that. And thank you so much for your time. You just mentioned, Kellyanne just mentioned the book just put out last year. If you don't have it yet, here's the deal, a memoir, a book by Kellyanne Conway that you can check out. And as we mentioned, Kellyanne, you are now with the America First Policy Institute. If people want to learn more about your work there, particularly this work, this fight for school choice for parents across the country, what are all the best places to keep up with you and the causes that you are working on?
Sure. Well, my website is Kellyanne-Conway.com. So they can find me on my website when I'm up to it, except I'm not a big social media person. So you won't find me on Facebook. All those Instagram pages that say this is the official Kellyanne, not true. I've never been on Instagram in my life. But Don Lemon's kind of encouraging me to start. Anyhow, so stay tuned. No. But for the AFPI, if people type in America First Policy Institute, they're going to find a treasure trove of policy information. We have 30 centers there. And the Center on the American Child, for which I'm the chair, is only one of about 30 centers. We have national security, China, energy policy, the economy, 1776, education, health, you name it, it's there. And you'll see a lot of familiar faces there. Many of the folks who work in the Trump administration are carrying forward the policy legacy and also trying to keep it fresh. We're a non-political organization. This is one of many hats I wear. I'm also a Fox News contributor. I have my own consulting company, Pollster for Life, fully recovered attorney, forever Pollster. But on the Center for American Child, we're working on a couple big areas. And one is education, another is fentanyl and opioids. You know, the drug crisis that yes. First Lady Melania Trump and President Donald Trump did an amazing job breaking the back of. We had the first decline in overdose deaths in 30 years on their watch. And I'm sad to report that it's well over 100,000 and counting each year now. I don't think Hunter Biden's father is ever going to touch the drug crisis in a meaningful way. Hmm. And that's sad, especially somebody's just letting drugs pour over the southern border and doesn't really generously resource or deeply respect our law enforcers who are trying as hard as they can to interdict. And also, we're tackling fostering the future. This is an initiative that First Lady Melania Trump worked on in the White House, and she's taken out to the private sector. Foster care, really working with state-level groups and state legislatures on that as well. And taking a look at social media. We all know the harm. We all know the self-image problem. CDC released a report just last week, and it showed teen girls being very honest, very upfront and candid about the effects of isolation and social media, what it's had on them, how many have considered suicide, how many have poor self-image, how many of them are hurting themselves. So this is something we want to look at in a way where we could be helpful, not bigfoot it and not tell people what they must do, but just be a resource. I'm telling you, I said it earlier in your program, there's so much, we suffer from what I call information underload in so many areas and so many issues. And if people just access American First Policy Institute, they will find a resource free of charge for everyone. The information is there for everyone to access. And I'm glad that you have folks from AFPI on routinely because they're experts in their respective fields and they're here to try to inform and, you know, inspire a country.
Great stuff. Kellyanne Conway, thanks again so much for your time. And I'd love to continue the conversation in many of those areas that you just touched on. If we ever get a chance to talk again in the future, I hope you can join us back here on Columbo and Katie. Looking forward to it. Have a great rest of your day and thanks for your time.
Best to both of you. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Back at you. Thank you so much. That is Kellyanne Conway.
Holy cow. Kellyanne Conway.
Great stuff.
Holy cow.
Great stuff from her. And if you missed any of that conversation, just make sure you are subscribed to the Columbo and Katie podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss anything that happens here on the show. Also, subscribe to the Columbo and Katie YouTube channel. And keep it here for the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. They are coming in next to take you through the rest of your Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much for listening to us and supporting us here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.